Amen. Thank you again, Daniel. How sweet to have the tender voice of music. And congratulations to our seniors. Nancy Wono, producer of many radio programs I did years ago, always concluded Caribbean Call and Happiness Is with, may you keep your hearts tender toward God. And that's our prayer, that you keep your heart tender toward our Lord, all the days of your life. May the Lord bless you abundantly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll turn to Acts chapter 16. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. How sweet to come into your presence. How sweet to sing these beautiful, beautiful songs that remind us of your faithfulness and the faithfulness of the cross and the faithfulness as you lead and guide in our lives. And Father, once again, we commit these seniors to you and ask, Lord, you be their guide. You give them direction. Lord, may the joys of their life be that of lifting up the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for these families and pray that you keep your hand upon these families as well. And now, Father, we come into your presence and we thank you for your word. And Father, we come and we bow before you. We submit ourselves to your word and pray that the Holy Spirit will apply the words to our hearts and give us direction that we may be faithful to you as you have been faithful to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Since Easter, we have been focusing upon the book of Acts. And we've looked at the beautiful preaching that comes from the book of Acts. The whole emphasis of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and Pentecost is focused upon the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You couldn't shut the apostles up. The disciples were filled with the joy, the wonder, the excitement that Christ indeed has been crucified for our sins, but he has risen from the dead and he's alive. That's a message they couldn't get away from. In fact, Luke records for us 13 excerpts of messages of New Testament preaching. It's all focused upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Last week, we looked at the testimony of Saul of Tarsus, a rabbi who had persecuted the church, even had killed Christians. And we saw his beautiful testimony of how Christ came into his life and transformed his life. We've had similar experiences. Each of us were in our own way of living outside of Christ. And just as Paul was outside of Christ, there came that moment when we came to an intimate love relationship with Jesus Christ and we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And then the change that the Holy Spirit has brought about in our lives. What was your life like before Christ came into your life? What's your life like the moment you put your faith and trust in Christ as your personal Savior? And what's your life been like that since? Each of us can give our testimony of what God is doing. We pick up the Apostle Paul once again, Acts chapter 16. Paul is on his second missionary journey. He's picked up Timothy. Timothy came to know Christ as his Savior in the first missionary journey. And then as Paul goes back and is revisiting churches that he had planted on the first missionary journey, he brings Timothy along with Silas as they begin the ministry of the second missionary journey. Luke tells us in chapter 16, verse 5, and so the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. There is this inward, intensive growth in the church, but there's also the extensive outward growth of the church because of what God was doing in their lives and the transformation. They take the gospel out of the realm of self-edification and they're sharing it with those about them. and the church continues to grow. We encounter something interesting in chapter 16. Paul has this passion to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere, that the regions beyond may hear the gospel. Luke tells us in verse 6, Acts chapter 16, verse 6, that they passed through Phrygia and Galatia region, and having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. We grapple when we see those words. Forbidden? God tells us, go preach the gospel everywhere, that all may hear the gospel. We come to this passage and we see the administrator of missions as his guiding and leading, even as he closes doors. He's the one who closes doors. He's the one who opens doors. In my own experience, there have been times when I have wanted to desperately preach the gospel in a new community or a new village, and the door is closed. And then suddenly the Lord just opens up the door and plops him right in the middle of what he is doing. That's what's happening here in Acts. The Holy Spirit forbids Paul to preach over in Phrygia and Galatia. We go to verse 7, and when they came to Mysia, they were trying. They kept on trying to enter the door. And we see Paul attempting to enter here, trying to attempt to enter over there. There's this imperfect tense. They kept on trying to enter into Bithynia. And the Spirit of Christ, that's the Holy Spirit, did not permit them. Strange, is it not? And yet in the mystery of the way God does things, he closes one door, and then he swings another door wide open. And when they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. It's in Troas the Lord swings the door wide open. And the vision appeared to Paul in the night. Now note that Paul and Silas and Timothy are not sitting at church somewhere praying. They are trying to enter doors. They're out doing mission work. They're trying to enter doors, and the doors are closed, and yet the Holy Spirit is the one who guides them. And in this instance, it's a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a certain man of Macedonia. And as I look at this passage of Scripture in detail, I think there's a little twinkle in the eye of Luke. I think Luke is saying to us, and I could tell you who this person was if I really wanted to. I think it's Luke, personally, my own thinking. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A certain man of Macedonia was standing and appealing. He kept standing. He kept appealing to Paul. There is this, come to Macedonia. Come preach the gospel here. Come over to Macedonia. Come and help us. Come help us. And then beautifully Luke tells us, when Paul had seen the vision, immediately, there's no putting off, there's no haltering, immediately he sought to go to Macedonia. We sought to go to Macedonia. Paul has the vision, and now all of a sudden Luke is involved in this whole conversation. We sought to go to Macedonia, and we came to this reasoned conclusion that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Amazing, isn't it, the way God does things? One door is closed, and another door swings wide open for the preaching of the gospel. That's the way God continues to do things. God's at work all about us. And Luke tells us in verse 11, and therefore putting out the seeds from Troas, we, hear those we passages, we ran a straight course. It's a beeline. That's the idea of the Greek word. It's a beeline. They set their sights and they head full steam ahead. We ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the third day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, one of those leading cities, a church that gets involved in Paul's ministry right down to the end of his life. From there to Philippi, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia, why God closes one door and he opens up another door to Europe. And we find the first city in the continent of Europe responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ. From there to Philippi. Isn't it amazing how God opens doors, closes doors? This is a principle we find all through the Bible. I think the best discipleship material that Southern Baptists ever produced is Experiencing God by Blackaby. And if you have never studied Experiencing God with Blackaby, I encourage you to get a copy of it, get the workbook, and work it verse by verse through it. A pastor near where I was pastoring in Missouri called one day and said, "Will, have you read Blackaby's book on Experiencing God?" It had just come out 25 years ago. And I said, "No." He said, "Man, you will enjoy this book." I purchased it, and after a couple of days of reading through Blackaby's materials, I told Ann, "There's another Southern Baptist that believes the same thing we do." I have taught in Spanish and English Experiencing God for the last 25 years. If you have studied it, drag out that book again and work through it anew, because this is the way God does ministry. God hasn't stopped. In a few weeks, the doors will be open once again in the church. And I pray that God is using you, preparing you these days for one of the greatest ministries we will ever have in our lives. Blackaby just simply outlined what the Bible teaches from Genesis to Revelation. God's at work. He's at work at Philippi. He was preparing the people in Philippi to listen to the message. And right now, this very moment, God is preparing people to listen to your testimony, to listen to you sharing Christ. Whether it be on a campus or if it be in the home, God opened doors. Perhaps this last week, he has given you opportunities you've never had in your whole life. Perhaps there are members of the family who for the first time have really begun to think through this thing of death and the possibilities of death, and they're asking questions. And that's God at work. When a person asks you, "Why are you a member of Dixie Baptist Church?" God just opened that door. What are you going to do with it? When someone asks you, "Man, I wished I had the assurance of salvation like you have," God just opened up that door. Are you ready to share your life the way you were before Christ came into your life, the moment you put your faith and trust in Christ, and what he's doing in your life right now, this very moment? Let's pray that God will swing doors wide open around Dixie, that we may share Christ and present Jesus Christ. God's at work. God's at work all the time. God has God-sized opportunities for us. It's not something the church can dream up and ask everybody to pray about and then go do it. It's something far beyond you, far beyond me. It's not something we can ask God's blessings on and then go do it. God's at work, and he invites us to come and join him in what he is doing. Our job is to watch and see where he's working. Our job is to explore and find out where he's at work. At the same time, God is preparing us so we can listen to what he's saying. God's constantly pursuing an intimate love relationship with us. He prepares our hearts until we're at the place where we will respond to him and do his bidding. How sad when we are not in fellowship with Him. How sad when we're not on the same frequency with Him, that our lives are not in tune with Him and we can't hear what He's saying. How sad when the church is occupied with other things and not listening to God's voice. Many times God cannot use us or even our churches because we're out of fellowship with Him. So God is pursuing an intimate relationship with you. Perhaps during this time of the coronavirus, God is working in your heart, preparing you for what He's fixing to do. God uses these events in our lives to fine-tune us, to bring us to a more intimate relationship with Him. God's work all about us. God is pursuing an intimate relationship with us so that we can listen to His voice. Blackaby is right when he says that if you can't hear the voice of God in your life, something is wrong with your experience with Him. God is at work. God is speaking. And God, when God has prepared us, He will invite us to come and join Him in what He's doing. And those become the most exciting moments of our lives, that we're so in tune with Him, we know what He's doing. We respond to Him, just like here in Philippi with Paul. Paul responds, he has the vision, he responds, his team responds with him. And they go to Philippi to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. God speaks. God speaks through His Word. Perhaps even right now, this very moment, the Holy Spirit is taking the Word of God in this experience of Philippi and is bringing it home to your heart. He's speaking to you. And He's saying, I want that intimate love relationship with you. I want you to listen to My voice because I've got something for you to do. God speaks. God speaks through His Word. God speaks to the Holy Spirit. God speaks to our prayers. God speaks to the prayers of the church, the community. And it's always something bigger than we can handle. When God invites us to come and join with Him, it's a God-sized opportunity. It's not something we can dream up and do on our own. It is so big that we have to step out by faith and trust Him. How many times in our lives, even as churches, that we find ourselves knowing what God is doing and what God wants to do, and we back off and say, no way, I can't do that. How many times do we say, man, we don't have money to do something like that? That's too big for us, not me. I'm not going out as a missionary. Not me, man. I'm not going to join one of those teams. I've heard all kinds of things about those teams that go out. And somebody else gets the blessing. We miss the opportunities when we know what God is saying and we don't step out and do it. But boy, what a difference. What a difference when we make that adjustment and we step out by faith and trust Him, and man, He swings the doors wide open for us. An interesting experience last week. Everybody in this church has been doing Zoom, Sunday school classes by Zoom, youth group by Zoom. I've heard about it. My daughters have talked about it, talked with them one day on it. And then the board of trustees and the professors at Peniel Theological Seminary in Ecuador zoomed me one afternoon and said, well, we want you to teach that new course on the cults to us starting tomorrow afternoon at 3:00 on Zoom. What an experience. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. This Tuesday I'll continue teaching that course. New opportunities. God does things like that. He opens the door and says, here, enter. This is the opportunity. Are we willing to follow Him and do what He wants us to do, and we do it, and we experience His blessings upon us. Go back to Acts. That's exactly what's happening in the book of Acts in this chapter. Verse 17, "And therefore, putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were staying." They are just walking around, observing and watching. They're getting to know the culture of Philippi. "We were staying in the city for some time, just getting to know the culture of the community. On Sabbath, they go looking for a Jewish synagogue, but Philippi doesn't have a synagogue. But there's some women, there's some Jewish proselytes, and they're down at the river. And they're having a prayer meeting down at the river. And so here comes Paul and Silas and Timothy, and now Luke is joined up with them. And the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down, and note what happens. This is absolutely beautiful. We sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled." The idea is that all four of these guys began to teach. "We sat down together, and Paul told about Christ. Luke told about his experience with God. Timothy, Silas, each one of them." Man, it's like an old-fashioned home Bible study. Or one of those beautiful places where you have churches that meet in a home somewhere. "These men began to share Jesus Christ." And verse 14 tells us that one of those women, and a certain woman by the name of Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, seller of purple fabrics. In fact, these are very expensive fabrics. Just a tiny drop of purple dye from a shell is where they get the dye. And they make these beautiful, beautiful pieces of cloth. The seller of purple fabrics. So this lady is high up on the totem pole. She's a worshiper of God. And she's listening. Another beautiful word in this passage of Scripture. She's hanging on to every word that these guys say. That's the way it comes out in the original language. She's intensely listening. She's listening to every word. She's hanging on to every word. And then something absolutely beautiful. The Holy Spirit is the one who's at work in this lady's heart. The Lord opened up. Open up in a wide manner. The Lord opened up completely her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. Boy, every preacher loves those moments. There's just something dynamic when you see the Holy Spirit applying the Word of God and listeners are intensely listening to every word you say. That's why I hope and pray that I get the privilege to preach when this church opens up again and people in the congregation. Because I love reading my audience. I love the contact with my audience. I miss that. Here in this passage of Scripture, the Holy Spirit, the Lord, opened wide the heart of this lady as she listens to the Word of God. And then we see something absolutely beautiful taking place. This lady responds to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when she and her household had been baptized, that's discipleship. This lady isn't baptized in order to be saved. She's baptized because something has taken place in her heart. Because God has brought about a change in her heart. She wants to tell the whole wide world that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Has that happened in your life? Have you come to an intimate love relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you come to the place where you've confessed yourself as a sinner and in need and to put your faith and trust in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Boy, at those moments, there comes that peace. There comes that sense of forgiveness. There comes that assurance that if I die right now, I go home to be with Jesus. You have that relationship with Jesus Christ? If not, you can right now, this very moment. By simply acknowledging to Him, just like Lydia did, just like members of her family did. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I've failed to be what You want me to be. I realize that You love me so much, You sent Your Son to go to the cross and die in my place on the cross. And I want Jesus Christ as my personal Savior right now, this very moment. Have you asked Him to be your Savior? Maybe a teenager watching today. Or maybe a person is a member of the church but has never come to that point of putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life and forgiveness and peace with God. You can. Right now, this very moment. Or you may be listening to the radio today. Or later on, you may be watching it on the internet. You can have peace with God right now, this very moment. And know Jesus Christ as your Savior and what He's done for you. That's what's happening in this passage of Scripture. There is that sweet joy of a family. Perhaps these are employees in Lydia's house also who come to Christ. The Holy Spirit opened up her heart. And perhaps that's what He's doing in your heart right now, this very moment. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed. She continued to insist to prevail upon us. Wow. Prayer meeting. A prayer meeting that God blessed in an abundant way. Men seeking God's direction. Men probing. Where is God at work? And trying to enter doors. Doors are closed. This door closed. That door closed. But to continue to try to find where God is at work. And then the Lord swings the door wide open. And there's the preaching of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. God's still doing it that way. He hasn't changed. He's doing the same thing in Dixie and in Hattiesburg the way He did it back in Philippi. So how's your heart today? Do you have that intimate love relationship with Jesus Christ? If you haven't, this becomes a beautiful time for you to respond to Him. God's at work. God's at work in our lives. He's at work in this community. Think back with me just a moment of these seven principles where God's at work. And ask yourself, God, are You at work in my heart like this? Yes, God's at work. God's at work all around us. He gives us God-sized opportunities. Are we looking for them? Are we exploring them? As a church, as individuals. And God is constantly pursuing an intimate love relationship with each one of us. And it's always, always a God-sized opportunity. And then when we find out what God is up to, it's bigger than anything we can handle by ourselves. It's something that only God can accomplish. And when we make the adjustments in our lives and step out, He does great and mighty things in our lives. The story doesn't end here. It continues as these women continue their prayer meeting. There's a demon-possessed girl who follows Paul around. She comes to know Christ as her Savior. And then the riot breaks out, and Paul and Silas are thrown into prison, and they continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The soldier, ready to commit suicide, and he cries out, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Luke rounds it up real good in a quote from the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved, and your household, because the whole household will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ." If you've never made that decision before, now's the time, the opportunity for you. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, you're at work. You are at work in this church. You are at work in this community. You're at work right now, this very moment, on Facebook. And Father, we bow before you and thank you. If I speak to someone this morning who has never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, I beg you, I plead with you right now, this very moment. This is your opportunity to come to Christ. Just simply pray, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, I'm lost. I need to be saved. And I'm trusting you to be my Savior." Lord Jesus, grant that prayer, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.